All right, thank you. Now, we all know, while this thing is loading up, that public health isn't done just through, well, public health. You've got primary care that's done by hospital clinics. Smoking cessation by religious organizations, health education by senior centers. So you've got a lot of other players there. Now, any accounting of public health based purely on government spending is going to be incomplete. I use a generic term here called NGOs, non-governmental organizations. I know most of you come at it from a different way. That was a compromise with the people from New Hampshire, from where this data is collected. We kept going back and forth on exactly what to call these people, but you'll see why in a second. Because they can be anybody from things like Girls Inc. to hospitals to senior centers, things like that. It was a tough catch also. We just kind of called non-governmental organizations. We used New Hampshire for this. My involvement with New Hampshire was because they were looking at regionalization. They didn't know where they were spending money. This was part of the project. They actually decided to go after not just the picture of where they, the government, was spending money, but where their partners are spending money as well. So with that, let me talk about a little bit about New Hampshire, about how many, 1.3 million people, 260 townships, you can see them all there, we asked a few questions. Where did we get the data? We got the data from the state, and we looked at their contracts and their employees. We asked townships where they were spending money. And then for these NGOs, what we did is we started with, now, the state was providing a lot of services. Some of those services were done through contracts with hospitals. So the first iteration was to go and ask those hospitals themselves. Said, hey, we know we're giving you money to do things. Are you getting money from anybody else to do other public health things? Are you running education, patient education programs, things like that? So we asked them. And then they rippled out from that, asking community centers, Girls Inc., things like that, Planned Parenthood, asking people to whom they had no direct relationship, and just trying to find out if anybody else was spending money on public health activities. In all, we got 50 of these, and I'll talk again briefly about what's coming next on that. We asked them how much they were spending, what they were spending it on, where they got their money from. Some of these partners were getting their money from federal grants themselves, so you'll see that in 1 second. And we asked where. Now, the where question, before I even walk back and forth, I'm sorry, it's like a tennis match. The problem with these contracts is one contract for certain services might cover that area. Another contract would cover not quite an intersecting area. It was a multi-layer patchwork quilt where one township might have been covered for mosquito billing, mosquito spraying under one contract, for primary care for another contract, immunizations yet another contract. So you share neighbors depending upon which contract you're in. It's made life difficult.
Try using the mouse.
Oh.
The mouse and the pointer might
help. I'm more comfortable this way.
But it won't record you.
I understand that. Yeah. Is it really going to bother you? I'll just stand up.
But try using the mouse and the pointer.
I'm sorry.
Patrick, if you'll just tell me, I'll advance your slide.
Okay.
Just tell me to advance.
First, let's look at where the money came from. State, 41% of the money, $18 million. NGOs, 42% of the money. That's one of the bottom lines. That's one of the takeaways right away. If you look at the state spending, $18 million, 41% of total. The NGOs, $19 million, 42%. They were on par with the state. They are, in a very real sense, equal partners. Thinking of these people as simple accessories, little helpers, is a myopic view. They provide a ton of help. Looking this way, looking across at the different services, you've got direct services, the emergency preparedness, the backup. Direct services took the lion's share. 46% of everyone's spending went to direct spending. If you look down at promoting healthy behaviors, patient education, things like that, 14% of all spending went towards that. And if you look at that, the composition, $1 million from the state, $5 million from these partners. So the partners were the ones investing most heavily to a factor of 4 or 5 times what the state was putting in on promoting healthy behaviors. Twice.
Twice?
Yes. Yeah, we can skip that one. because it covers the same thing just based on percentages. Now, where do these NGOs get their money from? Remember I said some of them do get government contracts, some of them federal contracts. It might be, for example, Department of Agriculture and Nutrition money coming through the hospital for a nutrition program or something like that. So it's still government money, it just might not be healthcare related, directly healthcare related government money. So they were getting some state money and some federal money to fund these other public health activities, but about 60%, 58%, if you look at that, 58% came from private sources. People over whom the government has absolutely no sway whatsoever. Go ahead. Yeah. Now, what I did is I wanted to figure out what was behind that spending? Where was the money being spent? And in particular, I focused just on those direct services and the health promotion services. I wanted to figure out what was determining how that money was spent. Now remember, these are informal partners. The reason I keep coming back to this, going back to those NGOs, all that money, if you look at any other report of the books of public health spending, none of that money's in there. So the fact that 42% of your total spend was basically not included in what would be included in most other studies means we're understating spending on public health. I'm not saying we're doing as much as we can. I'm just saying that there's this total different area that we're missing. Now, what determines their direct spending or their promotion spending? Population was a large driver. I'm not going to bore you with reading through the little fine print and everything, but population was large. More people meant more money. It was pretty unequivocal. Race did not play a factor at all. Part of the reason for that is New Hampshire is 95% white, so there's not much variation in race to play with. Hispanic also, and now while there wasn't a large difference in race, ethnicity, there were significant proportion of Hispanic people in Vermont, New Hampshire, excuse me. Yet that didn't play very significant, especially not in the direct services. A little bit in health promotion, yet oddly enough, they were getting Hispanic areas were getting less money for health promotion. You can actually leave it there, and I'll just kind of, you can go ahead. The shading moves.
Oh.
You did. Sorry, you're a step ahead of me. Let's say urban areas. Urban areas were getting more for direct care, so urban areas were more likely to have, let's say, money for clinics or Planned Parenthood, more direct services, so that would be clinical services, Planned Parenthood-style services, something like that. Urban areas were getting more, but better educated areas, I looked at education and aging. This was based on I looked at all those 260 townships and I pulled the census data. So I was looking at census demographics and comparing it to that money. Land area wasn't a very significant factor on the direct services, but they were getting less for the patient education stuff. Better educated areas got less money, which actually made a little bit of sense if you believe that better educated people are less in need of patient education. Now, when we look at, thank you so much, you're ahead of me. If you look at economic factors, happily, less money went towards high income areas, and wealth was not, wealth when measured by household house values is significant. So less money goes to the wealthy. More direct services. This is very good. You don't have to look at the specific numbers, but you can see lots of stars. Unemployment drew direct services largely. So areas where there was a lot of unemployment were getting a lot of direct services. And remember, this is a spend not by the government, but by these NGOs, their informal partners. So that money was going to the right place. The Gini, however, worked opposite. The Gini index is income inequality. All those 99%ers talk about they're talking about the Gini curve kind of. To break it down to the easiest way to put it, if you're poor, it's better to live among middle class people than rich people. Perhaps there's just no easy way to put a health center next to the country club. But basically, you're better off living among the middle class than you are among the rich. Next slide, please. Thank you very much. This is coming from anyway. Now let's look at what the government does, this government organization spend versus the NGO. Now, looking just for direct services, while we're here, I charted the points, and this is government spending. This is what we traditionally look at when we're looking at public health spending. On the bottom, this is your government spending, this is the partner spending. I just kind of wanted to see what the relationship was. And there is an upward relationship. Now, this is something I found in other areas, and it was kind of odd to find it again here. Basically it means the more the government is spending, the more your partners are chipping in as well. It's one of those things where sometimes I wonder if the fact that the areas, the townships that are spending more, are getting more money, maybe they're better capable of getting partners to work with them and help them out, or to get grants, things like that. The fact that most of these dots are below the line goes back to an earlier point where the government spends more on direct services than the NGOs. We can hit the last slide. Thanks again. This is more of a blob. Trust me, at first, you know, your eyes play tricks on you, but when you run a regression, this is more or less a blob. There wasn't much relationship for the health promotion between what the government was spending on health promotion and what these NGOs were spending on health promotion. Now remember, the NGOs were spending 4 or 5 times more than what the government was spending, so I think that had something to do with it. In other words, you were trying to predict a larger value based on a smaller spend by the government. But I wasn't finding much there. The fact that the blob is above the line goes back to the earlier point that I pointed out, is that the non-governmental organizations are spending a lot more on patient education than on the traditional sources. We can hit the end. Okay. Some of the things, I've already said population drew money, and this is just for the non-governmental money. Population draws money. Oddly enough, as income kind of pushed that money away, which was okay, as did education, which might have seemed fair. The Hispanic findings were a little bit confounding. Remember this. I'm kind of focused on the takeaways. Only 1/3 of this non-governmental organization's spending was government-related. Only about 1/3. 60% of it was totally independent. As a result of this project, they've shared some of these results with their non-governmental organizations, and they are actually wanting to meet. This is a great exercise, not just in finding out how much your partners are spending, but this, as in New Hampshire, they're actually having meetings based on this to kind of formally start working with these partners. Given the amount of money they're spending, they can fill holes. You're getting a budget cut in patient education. Maybe you can work with some of these informal partners, try and get them to help you where you suddenly have holes. So that's the takeaway. Thank you.